Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinich.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. It's a great day to be alive, kids, because I'm alive. How about you? And it's a great day to talk about pleasure. Why? Because pleasure is so much more fun than suffering. But oftentimes we have to go through all of that to get to where we are. And I've had quite a few relationships that have been quite suffering. And I've had relationships where consent was assumed. And it was assumed because of being in what was like a long-term relationship. And I recently was coming across a bunch of posts on, I think it was Instagram, where women were talking about how, you know, after 30 years of marriage, they realized that they actually had choice. And that struck a chord for me. And I thought, okay, I need to actually talk about this on the show, because there is this assumed consent that happens in long-term relationships. Even some people assume consent on even a first date. We'll probably get into that too. But in this case, I'm talking about long-term relationships, whether it's marriage or you're in a long-term relationship, and it's something where, you know, it's not spoken, but there's an assumed consent that goes on. So today, as you know, a couple hours ago, and before I was making dinner, I was walking around and I grabbed my husband's butt, as per I often do. And I laughed and I said, you know what? I just went against the thing I'm talking about tonight. He's like, well, what are you talking about tonight? I said, how there's assumed consent in marriages, and I just assumed I could grab your butt. And he just started laughing. And he's like, so now you're going to go explain to everybody how what you did was completely against what you believe in. I'm like, kind of. I'm like, were you okay with that, though? He's like, I kind of expect it now. And I'm like, oh, so that's interesting, too, the expectation that I would just grab his butt, which is, you know, it's playful. It's our way of being playful. We both do that to each other. I mean, there is a kind of a difference between that and somebody like slipping their Johnson in while you're sleeping. That's definitely not okay. So we are going to talk about assumed consent, presumed consent, and, you know, what is kind of something that couples have agreed on, what is like an okay modus operandi. Is it okay to act a certain way? Is it not okay to act a certain way? And again, it's going to be personal to your relationship. It's not because in my relationship, we are okay with grabbing each other's butts. Or if there's a day where I go to grab my husband's butt and he's like, no, then I don't grab his butt. But if he's all like right in there, then we're all good, right? So there are different forms of showing consent, but I am a big fan of verbal consent. And absolutely, consent when it comes to, you know, anything that you don't have a standard agreement on is a good thing to get verbal consent on. So we'll talk a little bit about that. What is consent, and why do I even talk about these things? One of the big reasons why I talk about these things is from a very young age, I was like fascinated by relationships. Fascinated. It's probably because my parents were divorced when I was four, and I always found like dynamics, human dynamics, very fascinating. Why did people fight with each other? Why did they like fighting with each other? Why did they like, you know, ignore each other? And I remember watching, because we would visit a lot of people. It was like back in the day when, you know, you just went and visited people because there was only five shows on TV, and, you know, played board games, but in like if you went to visit a Serbian household, you were going there and you were eating smoked meat, people were smoking on you cigarettes. Somebody was probably drunk, and there was a lot of Turkish coffee going around. And so, as a little kid in your in an environment, you get to watch these people have their dynamics of relationship. And there was, looking back, there was so very little consent going on, even to the point where it was like assumed that you could just go visit people without even telling them you were coming, which was weird. And I do know people that still do that. Actually, the Amish will do that. They just will show up randomly. And I find it fascinating because that is kind of like how we were in the 80s and 70s and 80s, just randomly showing up on a, oh, it's Friday night, it's visiting night, let's go visit people. People don't do that anymore, and I'm really okay with that because, you know, generally I like want to know when somebody's coming to visit. So we had like that kind of assumed and presumed consent, and it's somewhere we started to get some boundaries, and we're like, hey, you need to call before you come over. And I think those boundaries are starting to seep over even into marital life as well, long-term relationships. Like, actually, you can't just assume because we're married that you can just have sex with your wife. You can just stick it in because you think you have the right to. And what actually constitutes consent? I've talked about consent a lot on this show before, things like age of consent, what truly can be constituted as consent. What does the word actually mean? So from the etymology, I'll just give you a little etymology on consent. Etymology is to agree or give assent, yielding when one has the right power or will to oppose. And it's also from the old French consentir, meaning to agree or comply. And it can also be directly from Latin, which I'm probably going to pronounce a little different, consentire, agree or accord, and literally to feel together. So con meaning together and sentir to feel. So feeling together. That so if we're feeling together, that means that we're kind of in alignment and in agreement with something. Well, that doesn't mean that one person says that what they want is the rule. It means that together people are going to collaborate and agree on something. So when we look at how, you know, how consent has come, actually, consent has come really far. When we think about even consent 100 years ago, there was nobody was even willing to give children the right to consent to anything. It was like, you do this, or there was just like a lot of threats. And now we realize children have rights. 150 years ago, even women didn't have a right to consent or not consent. That led to a lot of problems. And then slaves also, no consent there. There was a lot of lack of consent going on the planet, and it led to a lot of problems. So when you don't seek somebody's consent, what you're basically saying is their opinion or their choice doesn't matter. So if you don't think a person needs to consent to something, you're saying that their opinion, their choice, and their voice don't matter. And if somebody is whoever's with you, and that's the way you feel, that their opinion, their choice, and their voice don't matter, at some point in their life, at some time, they are going to rebel and they're not going to want to be with you. Because ultimately, everybody in their heart of hearts wants to know and wants to be seen, heard, and acknowledged, and wants to know that they have a right to choose for themselves. Consent is not like a one-time agreement. So when I say that marriage doesn't equal consent, I mean that when you get married, it doesn't mean that your genitals now are belonging to you, your partner, and vice versa. It doesn't mean that anytime you're horny, you have a right to their body because just because you want it. It also doesn't mean you have a right to belittle them or treat them crappy in order to coerce them into fake consenting, which is just complying because they don't want to fight you. So, consent, when you're just agreeing because you don't want to fight or you're afraid, that something can happen to you, if you are afraid in any way to say no, and you're just complying out of you're just complying because you don't know how to fight and you didn't feel like you would have a say or be heard anyway, that is, there's a form of coercion going on there and there's no consent happening. You can derive what you want from that. Does that equal, sexual abuse? Does that equal, molestation? Does that equal any of those things? Well, I think that's up to you to see whether that's what it equals or not. To me, that is what it would equal. So consent is not a one-time agreement in a relationship of any status, whether you're just first started dating and, you go to kiss someone, that doesn't mean that you can, and they say yes the first time, doesn't mean they're going to say yes every time. And it also doesn't mean, in this one, the kiss part throws me, because every once in a while I think about how many dudes have been so aggressively gross with kissing, where they just like grab your head and shove their face in, and ugh, gross, don't like that. So that kind of like aggressive forcefulness does not equal consent. Just because the person can't fight you or can't necessarily say anything, if you are forcing yourself upon them and they are complying out of lack of ability to fight you back, that's not consent. So oftentimes, though, in any kind of relationship that's long-term, especially like marriage, consent is assumed, and it actually gets blurred into like everyday everything, right? It's blurred into expectations. And this is also where true consent is saying yes, where oftentimes in a long-term relationship, there's kind of this thing where that people think that they have an access agreement. It's like, hey, I've been to your house before, so I should have access to your land anytime I want it. It's the same kind of thing in like a relationship. It's like, oh, we've had sex once, therefore you sign the access agreement. I should be able to have sex with you anytime I want. It's not. Consent is revocable at any time. If you've said yes, even in the middle of getting hot and heavy, if you change your mind and you say no, and you move and you do all the things you can to be really clear that this is done, no, and that continues, then that you have not consented to. You could consent to the first 3 minutes and not consent to the next 3 minutes. That is your choice. Are people going to call you a cock tease or a pussy tease or something? Yep, who cares? Who cares? Because you know what? Too many times that guilt of you turned me on, so you owe me, is crap. Just because somebody's turned on and, just because there's arousal does not equal consent. Arousal in many ways does not equal consent. If a person is being violated and their body gets accidentally aroused, because that's the nature of bodies, they will often have like arousal responses, that doesn't equal consent. If a person is aroused themselves personally, it doesn't mean that they need to get their rocks off, that you owe them because they're turned on. You don't owe anybody because they're turned on. They can deal with that themselves. But I can't even tell you the number. I honestly couldn't count the number of times prior to my husband, in not all relationships, but there were a handful that were real doozies of, you turned me on, so now it's your job to deal with this erection, oh mine, it's your job to deal with it. And so there's all that, those experiences where you end up like having sex when you didn't really want to. It's out of obligation, it's out of guilt, it's out of all those things. None of those words, if you've noticed, none of those words are consent. You didn't agree necessarily to any of them. And so there's this like ongoing kind of abuse that happens that can be really conflicting, because you're like, but I've done it so many times. and you think it's normal because actually it's been normalized because it's so common, but that doesn't make it okay. And what I can't emphasize enough, consent is revocable at any time. Speaking of time, we're actually due for our first commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about how marriage and long-term relationships do not equal consent. It's not an assumption. Although for many, 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 many years it was assumed. I think it wasn't until about the last, even in the last at turn of the since the turn of the century, since the year 2000, I believe it was in the US where a lot of the laws were changed that in fact could say that husbands were raping their wives. Prior to that, it was assumed, and I believe it was 2013, but I'm going to double check on that. But it was assumed until very recent history that a man had every right to have sex with his wife any freaking time he wanted. Vomit. I remember like working with a woman way back in the early 2000s, and one day she just said to me, and I think she just thought it was so normal because it was part of how her relationship was, is that she had said, I think it was like every day of her marriage, her husband expected her to either have sex with him, give him oral sex, or a hand job. And if she didn't, he was mad. So the level of obligation sex, and this woman was in a lot of physical pain all the time. Well, no doubt she's having sex when she doesn't want to. He was a strange fellow looking back. Even at the time, I questioned some of the things he did. And I won't get into that on this episode because I truly think he was an abuser on many levels. And I said to this friend woman that I worked with, that I said, you do realize you don't have to have sex with your husband. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, just because you're married doesn't mean that he has a right to have sex with you. And that night she went home and she said no to her husband. The shitty part was he ended up like pummeling her, and he hit her off the bed and she hit her head on the side table. She got bruised in multiple places He was livid at her for, you know, getting hurt. It was her fault to begin with. Why didn't she just have sex with him? I think they are still married to this day, which is pretty effed up. And it blows my mind. You know, she's a beautiful woman. There was no reason why she would think that she couldn't, you know, raise the bar. And I would say that probably people thought that about me too. It's like, go raise the bar. What are you doing with some of these idiots you're with? And they weren't all idiots. I had some good boyfriends too. But there was a few real doozers. Anyway, so yeah, so the history of women not being able to say no goes way back. It's tied to the fact that marriage was considered not only a legal contract, but it was a contract of ownership. My husband and I joke about all the time because I think it's actually still somewhere in the writing of the paperwork that you're, or at least when we got married, I think it still said that like the wife is chattel somehow. Anyway, I'll have to relook at that, but we still joke about our ownership papers. We don't call it our marriage certificate. We joke that it's our ownership papers. And because we realize how ridiculous that is, that there would be ownership. And it had to do with land and it had to do with survival, but it had nothing to do with desire, had nothing to do with whether you wanted to be with that person or not. And especially did have nothing to do with whether you wanted to have sex with them or not. And this is where, when we look at historically, women were obligated to fulfill their sexual duties. One of the reasons was you needed to create an heir. An heir was going to guarantee that that man could then have his land and whatever he had worked for be inherited by a son, because in most countries, women couldn't inherit, to the point where actually even in 1940s, in the former Yugoslavia where my dad grew up, he had relatives who never had a son. They did have a daughter, I believe, but they never had a son. And so when they died, my dad was the oldest of the nephews and he inherited somebody's property. I think he was maybe 7 or 8 years old at the time. And which is crazy to think about. But that's, and that is how a lot of times it's still done in some countries, where even when you think about royalty and the, you know, the first one to the throne, if there's a boy, if there are no boys, which is rare, when you end up with Queen Elizabeth II, then there can be a girl on the throne. However, if there's even one boy, there's seven girls and one boy, that boy gets the throne, even if he's 55 years younger than the rest of them. So, like I was saying earlier, that it's I don't know if it boggles your mind, but it boggles my mind that marital rape was not even recognized until I think the last maybe 13, 15, definitely since the year 2000. It's really new that it's been recognized that way. And a lot of different religious groups would also say that, you know, submission is required. It's duty of the wife to have, you know, obligation sex with the husband, that it creates more of a stronger relationship. It has nothing to do with your autonomy and your choice. It has all to do with how you create a stronger relationship of obligation. So the woman in this case has no bodily autonomy, and there are no boundaries. Generally, the consent was never acknowledged that a woman was even allowed to even consider that consent was required, that it existed. And a lot of people still operate from those values. I just offhand, I could name many, many, many people who believe still to this day that the wife has no rights in the relationship, and that she, and the funnier part is that the Amish families I know actually are far more modern about it and believe their wives do have choice. So I'm talking about people who are not even like in super religious sects that have these beliefs. I would say that they're more what's my well, we'll call them religious Christians. They're not really, they're political Christians, I suppose. There's a lot of them that believe that it's a thing that, the wife has no choice and that the husband should and have any right to the wife's body at any and all times. Just thinking about that pisses me off so freaking much. I can't even like really get into it without wanting to just swear a lot. So I'm sure any of you listening who also are aware of situations like that going on in the world where, or you might even know people where you've watched their relationship and you've seen them and maybe they've talked to you where they're saying, I don't want to have sex, but and then he just does his thing and he rolls over. Well, there's been no pleasure, there's been no presence, there hasn't really been consent on your part. You just went, oh well, if I have to. If you feel like you have to, you're not alone out there. And it's also not just women who feel like they have to, but predominantly it is. There are a lot of men who sometimes feel like they're obligated to have sex as well, and they might not want to. There are men out there who are more like demisexual and asexual, and lots of people who, I'm just talking about, the traditional scope of marriage, but this is true in all relationships, no matter how you identify with your sexuality. Like, this can be true in gay marriages and relationships as well as, even if you're in polyamorous relationships, all relationships require consent, but a lot of times consent is assumed when you've been in a long-term relationship. And it's really important to note that always consent can be revoked and consent is required. So, if you're just thinking, well, I'm horny, so you're gonna, I've actually had a few friends tell me stories about how they just woke up to their partner basically on top of them and like woke up to somebody sticking their penis in. And it was shocking. And of course it was shocking. And there is like thing where, for whatever reason, those guys just think that that's okay. They're horny and they think they're doing something sexy. Well, unless you have some kind of agreement with your partner that they're okay with you having sex with them randomly in the middle of the night and waking them up, if you have that agreement, that's one thing. But if you don't have that kind of agreement and you just think you're going to test that out one night in the middle of the night when, your partner's, knocked out three sheets to the wind, tired, and then you just throw yourself on them. No, that's not consent. In order to have true consent, there are some like factors we need to put in place. So know that if you're consenting to something, you can revoke at any time. I can't emphasize that enough. Also, you also need to be able to be present. So if somebody's like, kind of here, kind of not here, they're scattered, if they can't really be with you fully present and they can't consent to what's going on. And presence can also be something that if you're high or drunk, then you're not very present. So you can't fully consent. Yes, I know lots of people who are like, yeah, I'll toke up and have sex. Well, you're not really there. And if you think it's making it better, that's only because you're letting your guard down. But if you need to let your guard down to have sex, then you need to go do some healing because that means that there's a lot of something that you're avoiding. So if we could just take away the drunken sex, the getting high sex, the not present sex for other reasons, and be able to get present before saying yes and consenting to anything. You can't consent when you're drunk, and you can't consent when you're high because you're in an altered state of awareness and oftentimes not able to actually consent. You can also see in somebody's body language whether they're consenting or not. If they're literally pushing away from you, but they don't have the words because maybe they're frozen, because sometimes the violation feeling will be right on top and then you can't even say anything because it's either something so familiar and you get shocked by it that you don't respond, or sometimes there'll also be, memories or smells that will trigger you and you don't know how to react. Your body just goes into fight or flight or froze. So freeze. And so look at, if your body language is saying no, if your energy is saying no, if you're not emotionally willing to consent and you're feeling like, oh, I don't really want to, then you're not really able to consent. And it has to be mutual. It has to be, there can't be any guilt of, well, you got me a hard on, now you owe me. If I can just flip two birds to people who say that, because I cannot again tell you how many times I have been accused of, well, you made me hard, so what the hell am I supposed to do with this? That kind of attitude, go F yourself. Go F yourself. And also, there can be no coercion, right? So the coercion of sometimes it'll be like, well, if you just like do this for me, I'll do this for you. Coercion can come across in so many ways, but no coercion, no obligation, no guilt, and it must be mutual. We're going to talk about our next section of questions that I kind of put out there to explore when we come back from our next break, which we'll be looking at why consent was assumed. Like, why was that part of the oh, sorry. Well, we kind of talked about why consent was assumed. We'll talk a little bit more about that and then how that affects the relationship. Like, what happens to the people when they have assumed this for so long? All righty, kids. So you're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. There was a fun question in the chat, but before I get there, can you guys head on over to spot out iHeart? No, what is it? It's iTunes. If you can head over to iTunes and search out the Pleasure Zone, 5-star the poop out of that. I totally appreciate that. Go give me some likes, comments, shares all over the place. I do have like little reels that go through Inspired Choices Network on TikTok as well. I am not the best at doing my own personal TikTok, but if you want to find little things on there to like, comment, and share it, I love that. It's also on Instagram through Inspired Choices Network. But if you could go on places like YouTube as well, like, comment, share, I would so appreciate that. And 5-star reviews on iTunes would be stellar. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you in advance. So there was a question in the chat, which was, what about a woman waking a man up with a blowjob? You know, how many guys out there probably have that as a great fantasy? The thing is, even men have the right to consent. It's true. I believe that men have a right to consent. So if at some point, if he has said to you, if your man has said to you, you know what I really love? I love waking up to blowjobs. And if you say to him, is there like ever a time that you wouldn't like that? Or how would I know if there's a day when you don't like that? Can you tell me what the signal would be? Well, the signal might be like he's happens to be sick. So, you know, he doesn't want that because he's not feeling the greatest. Maybe he just had food poisoning, and who wants a blowjob when they're pooping themselves? I mean, some people might, that might be their thing. I get it. Coprophilia is a kink. So if you are pooping yourself and you're into that, that's one thing. But then, you know, consent still required by everybody involved. So if you've agreed, or if you have a thing for that, and you've told your partner that, you know what, I really love being woken up by blowjobs, and even then, if you know your partner's given you a blowjob and in the middle of it, you're like, yeah, no, I don't want this, and you say stop. And that, you know, and you've agreed that that's just going to be the stop word. It's not going to be the playful stop. No, go on. It's not a consensual non-consent. Because there's so many ways we could take this. If it's a truly no, stop, and you need to honor that, whoever's given the blowjob, even if they have said before, I really love being woken up with blowjobs, you still need to stop. Yeah, you do, because they said no, and they have every right. Everybody, no matter how you identify your gender, everybody has the right to revoke consent at any frickin' second. Everybody. So if you know, if you're thinking, oh, that, you know, because I was mentioning like guys waking up, I just hear a lot more about guys waking up their wives, girlfriends, for, you know, in the middle of the night sex when they're like half asleep. And some people might be okay with that. But the rule of thumb is you need consent. And at some point, whether it's agreed to say, hey, yeah, you know what, I'm good with middle of the night sex, just make sure I'm awake enough to participate. I don't want you having sex with my half asleep body. So, you know, wake me up sort of to like let me know or whatever. Maybe you are into being, maybe you have a kink for somebody, you know, having sex with you when you're half asleep, but then again, you're consenting to it. So consensual non-consent is still consent. I know it gets complicated, kids. Anyhow, the rule of thumb is consent is required. We can't talk about that enough, right? Can we talk about communication, consent, curiosity, commitment, all kinds of things, collaboration, lots of great C words when it comes to relationships. So let's talk about what happens in a relationship when and if consent is assumed. Right? So let's just say you've been in the relationship for, you know, 15, 20 years, everybody assumes they can do whatever they want to whoever they want, whenever they want. Well, the thing is, and man, you can really see it in these posts on Instagram, thing is that people start to get really resentful that their boundaries are being ignored, that they're not being heard, they're not being seen, and that they're just being used. So that's why consent is important, so that you can honor your partner, so that they feel seen, they feel heard, they feel acknowledged, they feel loved, and the trust becomes more and more, it grows. The trust just, it grows. So when consent is assumed, and instead of being communicated in any way, what it does is it starts to create emotional, psychological, and physical disconnection. If, you know, given the scenario, somebody just assumes they should have sex with you, say you're having, you're sleeping, somebody just rolls over, they shove, you know, their Johnson right in wherever they want, whatever hole's available. And then all of a sudden you're like woken up, you're like, for one, you're going to be probably alarmed, only because I say this because it happened to me once. And the guy really didn't, we were young, he really actually didn't know. And he didn't, he didn't really know. But after I explained to him, like, you can't just have sex with somebody in the middle of the night, you can't just shove it in, because I think I was having a sex dream and I might have been moaning and I might have woken him up with me moaning. So he thought I was turned on. But that, again, being turned on does not equal arousal, does not equal consent. And actually, that is new in the world too. Only probably in the last 20 years is it acknowledged in courts that somebody can be aroused, but that does not equal consent. So we were young, we didn't know, the information also wasn't out there. So I don't, on his case, I don't blame him or resent him for that. He actually didn't have the information. There were other people who did that who absolutely had the information, didn't care, also didn't have a conversation with me after, acknowledge or apologize. So though the guy who did apologize, that's a whole other scenario. He honestly, in his heart, did not know, and I know that about him. So what it can do, though, is if that keeps going on, and the person pretends like, oh, well, I didn't even know. I didn't know you didn't want to, so I just, you know, went for it. Well, then, of course, you're going to feel resentment to that person because they're not listening to you. Of course, your body's going to shut down and not know how to react and maybe even revolt the whole scenario. And of course, you're going to lose trust. And of course, you're not going to feel safe. Why would you? You're sleeping and somebody just sticks their Johnson right where they want to. Why do I keep using that word? Because I think it's going to get through the filters. So it's the Johnson. All right. So it's going to have you lose trust. It's going to have you not feel safe. Even if the person didn't intend to harm you and they thought they were being playful, unless you are having a genuine apology conversation and understanding after and it never happens again, it's going to take a while to build that trust and safety up again. And what it's also going to do is it's going to increase, if you're in a long-term relationship and, you know, consent is assumed, then all of a sudden, we talked about performance versus presence, then that performative sex starts to happen. It's like you're just going through the motions. You don't actually feel anything. You don't really care. You're just doing it because it's your duty. And then there's like a feeling of obligation. There's a feeling like you have to comply. There's not a lot of love going on. It's just, it gets so, so messy. And then what ends up happening is that the relationship becomes so disconnected that no person involved feels good about themselves. And they don't really know how to be open with their sexual expression. And they don't really have much self-worth left because they haven't been seen, heard, acknowledged, or felt loved. And when you don't feel seen, heard, acknowledged, or loved, you don't have a lot of self-worth. It's just kind of what happens. So how do we change that? And one of the ways that we need to change that is to start understanding the importance of consent and communicating yeses and nos and communicating where you felt things were an obligation, and then taking ownership. And when something feels like obligation, saying, yeah, this doesn't work for me. I'd rather be present than have obligation sex. And maybe there's something else that your partner is looking for. And if there is that air of obligation going on, there might be some other disconnect happening where maybe there's already trust issues for other things and it's not all sex related. So the trust has to be rebuilt until there can be presence. And maybe the relationship is over without you realizing it. And you're just trying to use sex to keep it together, like sex as the glue that binds. And sex can only bind you together in a long-term relationship for so long before it does just go, everything just goes away, because the complying and the trying and the just trying to make up for it with sex rather than having any further substance and any other rest of the relationship. As much as I talk about sex and pleasure on this show, pleasure is important for healing, but it's not central to how, it's not central to the foundation of your relationship. There needs to be other things that keep you centered, and your values and your morals are really key with that. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, can relationships thrive without explicit consent? Can they? We'll find out. So you're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we've been talking about how marriage and long-term relationships do not equal consent. Just because you're in a marriage doesn't mean you're allowed to stick it up and stick it in wherever you want. No, no, sir, it doesn't. And no, ma'am, it doesn't. So we're talking about that because I've seen so many different posts lately. Maybe it's the feed I'm on. Maybe it's my algorithms, but I've seen so many women in their probably my age range talking about how they've been in relationships for 25, 30, 35 years. And they're with people that they had all this obligation sex with, and every single time felt like a violation to them because they were just doing it because they felt like they had to, not because they wanted to. They didn't feel they had a right to say no. So is that violation? I'd say it is. It is, because the thing is, we've been so trained to think that we have to, and that, you know, there was a time too where it was like easier just to say yes to somebody. We believed it was easier to say yes to somebody than to actually fight for what we wanted, or to be able to say what we wanted and be honored, because that wasn't going to happen. There was going to be coercion. There was going to be guilt. There was going to be all kinds of stupid shit. So no. So can a relationship thrive without explicit consent? I'd say that a relationship based on assumed consent can survive, but I don't think it's going to thrive. Assumed consent is going to end up leading to things like resentments and emotional breakdowns, burnout, all kinds of things. So in order to actually have more of an expansive, growing relationship, consent needs to evolve, and consent needs to be discussed on a it could almost be like a daily basis, right? Things can change on a regular basis. So being willing to have open conversation and communication, and to be willing to be curious, because you know how I love curiosity, communication, and consent. And here's another part of the C words, is that there needs to be the ability to say no without having consequences. So you're allowed to say no and not have the person say to you, but why? Come on, come on. Oh, well, or walk away from you and leave you because you said no. So the ability to say no without consequences, that's a good C word, too, is important. So if you feel safe enough to tell your partner no, no, I'm not, you know, this doesn't work for me today, and you feel totally good about being able to say no when you want and how you want, amazing. And if you, whether, you know, however it is that you identify as your gender and knowing that you have a right to say no and that your relationship can survive that is fantastic, because that means that you know that you're respected in the relationship, that you're loved, that you're honored, that you're seen, that you're heard, all those things we like in relationships. And so if you know that you can say no and that person's not going to walk away from you or break up with you because you said no to sex with them, you are, you know, you have a much better chance of having a thriving relationship than somebody who's saying yes just to hope and cross their fingers and hope that, you know, the person doesn't walk away because, you know, oh, because they made you feel so bad for not having sex with them. Because the guilt was, because they knew how to get you. They knew how to get your guilt buttons going. You need to be able to feel safe to say no. And you need to be able to feel safe to say no at any time where you can revoke consent. And desire needs to be something that you invite into the relationship and that's not like forced or expected. So if you have desire in your relationship, and you desire even different things, you know, whether it's, and you can share that with your partner through communication. It's like, oh, I'd really love to go doggy style today. How do you feel about that? And then that is like an invitation for play, but it's not an expected yes. Then you can absolutely then have a version of explicit consent, which is like, yay, thumbs up, body language of like getting in the position, right? So, like if my husband says to me, do you want to do it doggy style? And I go into doggy style, that would be me consenting, only because he's very hard of hearing. So even if I say yes, I need to give him other signals. So communication doesn't always have to be verbal. You can give communication in different ways so that your partner gets that you got the message and that, you know, their play can go on, right? And then you can start to shift out of obligation. And hopefully, if you're in a really good relationship, you've maybe never even had obligation sex. Some of the worst ones are when you have obligation sex because, an obligation sex is, I would not say consensual sex. And so that's a whole other thing that we have talked about on here quite a lot. We want to move into co-creation, collaboration, playfulness, togetherness, right? Consent. It's doing things together. It's agreeing to things together. So we want to create deeper trust in our relationships. And in order to create deeper trust, we need to be able to communicate what we're consenting to. If you can just think back to some of the times in your life where you were given an option to consent to say yes or no, and you found saying no so ultra gratifying, like it felt so good to be able to say no, and your relationship wasn't threatened. If you can't think back to a time when that happened, then that might be a time to, you know, kind of recalibrate and look at your relationship and say, okay, you know what? I've never felt okay about saying no. I've never felt like I could say what was going on. There could be some underlying issues. If you need to work through those issues, because a lot of times people are, when they hear that I'm a sex and intimacy coach, they think I'm just teaching people to have sex. I'm not. I'm teaching you how to relate. And oftentimes our sexual hangups and issues are the things that teach us the most about what's really going on in our relationship. And often they're a reflection of our health as well. So I will be having a book coming out soon. So stay tuned for that, because there's going to be a lot around getting out of trauma and finding new ways to relate to your partner and relate to yourself, and consent is definitely involved. And if you can just keep in mind that you always can revoke consent.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.